Hey there guys, this is Dave from DC On Screen. I just wanted to let you know that DC On Screen is now officially a part of the 11th Annual People's Podcast Awards. If you would like to vote for DC On Screen, go to podcastawards.com, scroll to the bottom, and write us in on the TV and film ballot on the right-hand side. Then, on the left-hand side, put your name, your email address, then submit. Importantly, you can nominate up to 20 shows for different categories, but you could submit the nomination form only one time. Make sure you nominate all your favorite shows in their respective category. Once you hit submit, that's it. You're done for 2016. Can't go back, can't do it again. Settle in now for a brand new episode of DC On Screen. Welcome in to DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. I am your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hey!
And this is episode 154. No, not 154. What the hell is wrong with me? 157?
Sure.
Damn.
Couldn't read your fours and sevens, could you?
You know, I was actually just looking at an old note.
Ah!
That's what I was doing.
Mm.
I just posted, like, the last... four episodes,
right?
And it was just sitting here as I needed the information to upload onto the show notes. So now that you guys know what kind of show you're gonna get tonight,
we're gonna hold this thing together with bubblegum and string. Let's do it.
Yeah And hey, we're gonna have some news that came from the Killer Croc actor whose name is nearly unpronounceable,
especially for us.
So look forward to that, guys. Wink.
Right.
Would you like an update on what Batman v Superman's numbers are doing?
Of course I would.
Domestically, 330,086. That's domestic. So everyone's kind of jumping on the, hey, an obscure Marvel character it beat Batman and Superman, which is Deadpool they're talking about. So
that's just whatever. That's not an obscure Marvel character.
He's kind of really not.
I mean, No. That'd be like saying, like, well, the Joker's kind of obscure because he's really just Batman's villain. Like, he's pretty Gotham-centric. Yeah, fuck you, man.
I think Joker is a lot more... I don't think that's fair. Joker's a lot more well-known than Deadpool, but still.
Fair enough. It's still just...
Worldwide, Batman v Superman has made 829,330,086. So
that's it, guys. Just go drop another 150 million and they'll release that extra cut.
They might release it just so it gets to a billion.
Damn straight. Do it. You got my money.
What they might be doing. That's what people keep saying.
Why not?
But right now that actually puts BVS at the seventh highest grossing comic book film of all time. Whatever.
It's not shabby. Hell.
But, you know, it is disappointing. It is a disappointing take because, I mean, you think Batman vs. Superman, there's no way that movie doesn't make $2 billion.
I mean, do you have that list handy? What's the top of that list?
Oh, no, I don't. Probably the Avengers still.
Yeah, probably. Well, we were going to go, like, at some point, recap some of the numbers and go in depth. We'll look at that when we do that.
That'll be your game, buddy.
Fair enough.
Use the number, man.
I'll go play with some numbers and see if we can get anything fun happen.
I can't read a number without screwing it up.
as previously attested.
As a few seconds ago attested, yeah.
That's a good point. The movie could very well be over a billion, or it could be $250,000 they've made so far. Depending if you read that number as well as you started off the episode. But I got to say, it tracks with where you were talking about last week, so I'm willing to bet on you, man. I'm willing to bet on you.
Yeah.
I got your back.
I'm pretty sure I was right. I'm pretty sure I'm right.
I feel good.
So, there are all these headlines floating around out there, and they're like, you won't believe how long Batman vs. Superman originally was. And then I read it, and I went, no, that makes sense. No, I believe it.
I didn't have to get past the headline. I was like, oh, no, that was a weighty-ass movie. Four sounds right.
So, yeah, 4 hours long, guys. Four hours.
And I would watch it. I would watch those 4 hours.
I would, too.
Not in one sitting.
I would.
I mean, you know... Man's got to pee every now and then, but I just need an intermission.
It's called It's called a stadium pal, my friend.
Right.
The editor, David Brenner, said was kind of fun is that we went back and did an extended cut where we put a lot of that character stuff back and we refined it into the same rhythm as the theatrical release. So what was once a nearly 4-hour cut with absolutely everything was ridiculous ended up being about a 3-hour cut once all these added storylines were refined with the fat cut out.
Yay!
Hooray! I want to see all of it, though.
Yeah, I do.
Someone asked Jesse Eisenberg to make sense of his character's story, and Jesse Eisenberg, you know, again admitted that he has not seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He said he wasn't going to see it. I mean,
he mentioned that he might after someone said he had done well, but
he might. But you know, yeah. He says he doesn't really watch himself in movies.
I don't hate him for that. I don't. I really don't. It can kind of mess with you sometimes to look at all the reviews and then go do something like that. You know, whatever his method is, I can work with that.
Now, because of his response, a few people are putting out articles like, Jesse Eisenberg doesn't know what they did with the... Okay. He's slamming the... No, he's not. He says, it's a very complicated mythology that I was able to wrap my head around while we were filming, but mm-hmm. I think there were certain editorial choices that I was not aware of that they put in retroactively.
I mean, why is he qualifying it with, I think that happens in every movie everyone's ever done.
Yeah, well.
And you do.
Jesse Eisenberg.
You go film a certain amount, and then they cut some of the stuff you filmed.
Yeah.
It's almost invariable.
It's just the same as any other movie, guys. I don't know what to tell you. It's okay. It'll be all right.
If you didn't enjoy it, I apologize. But it's not odd.
Yeah. So let's jump over to Suicide Squad. See, everything is kind of like Batman vs. Superman. We're not forgetting it. I've seen those headlines. We're forgetting. No, we're not. It's just that it's been out for like a month. And Suicide Squad.
We're really excited
out.
About this other thing. I mean, come on.
There are a lot of headlines like, as Civil War gets closer, or as Suicide Squad gets closer, we forget about Batman v Superman. I'm not forgetting about it. I mean, shit, I've still got it. You know, my bank statement's still looking me in the face. It's still telling me, like, look, here's where you watched the movie. Here's where you ordered the movie on your Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
So over to Suicide Squad. I'm so excited about Suicide Squad, man.
Oh, God. Yes.
So.
If all I had at this point was the soundtrack to the trailers, I would still be excited about Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
That's how well they're doing with cutting this thing so far.
You don't know me.
So, by the way, yeah, before we get into this, I would like to point out that already there are a few different people on the internet who are already saying that, throwing up the clickbait articles, trying to get the negative, the negative campaign against Suicide Squad going.
Trying to get the Cynic Squadron.
Like, I saw one that was like, why Suicide Squad will be dead on arrival? And like pretty much the entire article was just like, every trailer feels like they're trying to make it feel like Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's not Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a shitty dour movie just like Batman vs.
Well, I mean,
it might be a wonderfully dour movie just like Batman v Superman that I enjoyed the hell out of.
Mm-hmm. those articles crack me up, man. They really do, because I understand that they're so easy to sit there and write. I mean, what do you need? Like a few hundred words, you start with some absurd premise like that, and you can literally just whatever comes out of your fucking hands, that's going in. There's there's no source material to it. You don't have to worry about anything. You can just,
you know,
dream away.
You know what's, and I didn't purposely really get into any of this. Mm-hmm. I don't even know the details on it, but what the articles that are really pissing me off right now to some degree are just the, like, and it's been going on for a while. It's like Chris Evans says, like, oh, I think Captain America is better than Superman. And they're like, shots fired. Like, so many articles say shots fired. Like, oh, Chris Evans says blah, blah, blah. Of course he thinks his character is better than Superman.
I mean,
and like, Henry Cavill responds. Responded with, I like Superman. I don't know what he responded with. I didn't actually even read the article. I was just like, I don't care.
Cavill's usually pretty diplomatic. It was probably like, well, you know, there's something for everyone. He probably started
Irish,
off like that. I didn't mean to slip into that. Did not mean to slip into a little Irish.
Look, man, Cavill like talked to a bunch of kids who clearly liked Batman better, and Took it like a man, so I wouldn't worry about what all the actors are saying, man.
What are you gonna do?
I don't think they give a shit. Honestly, they're just like, yep, I'm still making a lot of money.
I mean, it's gonna happen. Everybody's gonna have their favorite character, and they're all gonna be weird sometimes. I guarantee you, there's someone out there whose favorite character is Squirrel Girl.
Shit, based on some of the stuff I've heard about Squirrel Girl, I think that might be me.
Oh yeah, she's a Omega level almost. But anyway.
Anyway. Over to Suicide Squad, back to Suicide Squad, whatever. this is going to be the part. It's going to be hard. Like, I actually wrote it out phonetically, but I still don't think I could do it. Let's see. The Killer Croc actor from Suicide Squad, Adewale Akinwunmi Agbaji?
Wow.
Agbaji, maybe? Okay, anyway. So, wow. That guy, dude, his name is impossible.
I don't know how to help you with that. Yeah, Adewale Akinwunmi Agbaji. I have no idea.
Yeah, anyway.
We need lessons in life.
He's talking Batman's connection to the squad. He says, all of these so-called villains are villains that Batman has had some history with and caught and brought into Arkham Prison. And so whether it comes before or after, I'm not sure, but I do know he has captured us all and imprisoned us in Arkham. So we've all got a gripe to bear against the old Bat.
See, that's what I'm thinking right now is that in the trailer, they make it look like the Harley Quinn's talking about the Joker when she goes, uh-oh, I keep thinking she hears the Batwing or something.
Yeah, I can see both.
That's my favorite theory at the moment. You all know what he can do.
I'm good and giddy with either.
Right.
Was
it Christopher White asking if or hoping that they would do an Almost Got Him?
I think it was Christopher White. Yeah,
I think so. I concur. Like that'd be great if that was the bar scene to me. That's them talking about the time Batman brought him down.
That would be brilliant.
I'd love it.
That would be brilliant. I wish they would actually spoil that a little bit for me and let me know that's going to happen so I can bring an extra pair of pants to the theater.
Oh.
So there's a rumor going about that Lex Luthor might actually be in Suicide Squad to some degree. He is in Belrive at the end of BVS.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to thinking because, spoilers, by the way, for all this stuff. I forgot to mention it at the beginning. I got to thinking, like, looking at the trailers again, what if the big villain in Suicide Squad is Lex Luthor and Brainiac?
Lex Luthor and Brainiac?
Yeah, just like, whatever happened to the Man of Tomorrow. Brainiac and Luthor merged in the comics. They merged in Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah.
The Superman animated series wrote it into where, like, Brainiac was from Krypton.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed that tweet.
I don't see any reason why Brainiac couldn't have been in the scout ship, infected Luthor, and then, I don't see any, like, maybe it's Tattooed Man or Monster T or whatever the hell they're calling him.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's Lex Luthor.
I mean, Tattooed Man is, I'll call him Monster T if the time comes, but until then, he's Tattooed Man. I mean, dude can be super powerful if you did it right, but I'm not sure it's like him versus the entire Suicide Squad level powerful. I mean, doesn't it feel like he's going to be the guy that's kind of mostly, I don't know, like the first level of defense kind of guy? Like the one they're probably going to beat, it's just going to lead up to the other guy kind of deal.
Yeah. That's kind of why I'm wondering, like, you know, maybe they do. Maybe they do, like, Monster T. Maybe they do a little Enchantress who kind of jumps back and forth between the teams,
I'm still kind of voting for Enchantress right now. If you made me put a dollar on one square right now, my dollar's on Enchantress. My dollar could move later. You never know.
It'd be a really cool way to throw in Brainiac.
It would.
And Luthor.
It would. I wouldn't mind. And that would emancipate him from Belrive, I assume. Which would get him back into the universe for Justice League, which would be fine with me. Because they pretty much caught him on war crimes. I mean, he's not getting out of there anytime soon.
I
mean, the stuff they caught him on is, I mean, unless the death penalty is just off the table in whatever state this is, it could easily be applied.
I would say no President Luthor in this timeline. Sorry, guys.
Not happening.
Unless his dad comes back and his dad is a clone, or he was a clone and his dad was like the real deal. You know, who knows? Who knows, man?
We get a little weird. A lot of weird shit. Yeah.
Comes
back and he's a future version of himself that's rebuilt the so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. I know everything that's going to happen to this country for the next 100 years. I can help you.
So, in as much as we had tons of comments and little sound bites and stuff from Zack Snyder during the BVS lead up.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we're going to get a lot more of David Ayer because I've got a ton of stuff that he said.
Shoot.
He was asked how much Batman is in Suicide Squad. He says just the right amount.
Okay. I mean, what do they want? Asked, screen time? Like, did they want right, stats?
Right, right.
The director, and I'll give him this. I like that the director feels confidently that that's just the right amount.
Right. He was also asked whether the film takes place before or after Batman v Superman,
ooh,
or if it will acknowledge the events that transpired in its predecessor. And he said, the answer to all of the above is yes.
Aw, damn you, David. I really wanted an answer to that one. Actually, I've been really curious about that. Oh, well.
So David Ayer was asked about the reshoot rumors, and he says, if they don't like your movie, they tend to not want to invest in it. If they love your movie, they give you what you want. And I don't think there's any director that finishes a movie and says, wow, that's perfect. That's what I really want it to be. Every movie I've ever made, I wish I could go and grab some additional stuff, and that's exactly the chance I got this time. It's like getting a new car, but you get fancy rims and a new stereo.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked if the reshoots were adding...
Okay, go ahead.
He was asked if the reshoots were adding bits and pieces here and there, or if he's adding any significant new set pieces, and he says all of the above.
Okay. So they are going to go back for some additional scenes. I mean, reshoots are at least common for... You know, literally reshooting something because you didn't get it quite where you wanted it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I like his point though, dude. Why would they give me more money if this movie sucks? It costs money right, to do this. You know that, right?
Yeah. And he also talked about the Suicide Squad score and soundtrack. He says it's going to be an interesting soundtrack. We have some really cool original things coming in, but also some familiar things too, and a great score. By the way, Stephen Price, Oscar winning for Gravity. He also scored The World's End and Fury by Ayer, is going to do the scoring on Suicide Squad.
Gotcha.
So there's that. Ayer also talks about Batman. He says, as a kid, I was a fan of DC Comics. I read them. I love Batman. Batman was always my favorite superhero, and then to have him walk on my set one day was an incredible experience. Even my cynical, hard-bitten movie crew got quiet when that happened. And Ben's a great dude. He's a good guy to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That would happen to me, too.
So,
I mean, you can see it happening to us, too. Trying to have a regular day of work, you know, getting everything done, running around, making decisions, getting blah, 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 adult stuff. And then, Batman just walked in.
Right. I'd be the dick who, like, I have to treat everything with humor. Mm-hmm. Like, almost like I that's usually how I choose to deal with things in my life and the nervousness of doing anything. So were I directing a movie and Ben Affleck walks on set as Batman, I would probably like walk up to him and say, all right, Ben, I know you've done this before, but so have I. Now, how I approached the character was he'd been hit on the head a lot.
I mean, a lot.
And he doesn't get a lot of sleep. In fact, this is my co-director, Jason. You've met him before. Look. He actually made the crack in the video we made, the 8-minute video, that I don't get a lot of sleep, so that's why Batman is mildly retarded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
And relatively husky, you know, voice-wise.
Maybe I should, if you guys want to see that, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. I guess I'll put it in there just in case you want to see it. We did a thing. But yeah, I would totally, and he would be like, who the hell are you?
Right.
That would be the real takeaway, and I would laugh really hard before security carried us both away.
Right. I mean, I'm thinking this ends with a restraint order of some kind. A restraining order?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they called.
So, Will Smith said that in Suicide Squad, he and Batman, he says, the bat does cross my path, and you know, it's not completely pleasant.
Does he leave it open for whom it is unpleasant?
He leaves it open for that, yeah.
I mean, normally Deadshot's a good enough fighter that he should be able to, like, almost in any version, he should be able to get in a few good blows of his own, right?
I would assume, yeah. So, bleh.
Sorry. There's some news for you.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lost my train of thought. I was going to say something, and now it's gone, and maybe I'll come back to it. There are. There
it's
are
gonna be like right
Wonder
after
Woman.
We're finished recording. We're gonna hit the device, hit stop, and you go, "Oh,
right."
Sorry, Dave. Too much. Too late. Right.
It always happens that way.
Doesn't it?
There are new Wonder Woman set pics. It shows Diana in training, or more accurately, her stunt double in training.
Mm-hmm.
Looked fine. I don't know. Yeah. Looked like there was a green screen.
Yeah, of course.
It's a pretty standard thing.
Pictures look cool, Russell though. If anybody checks them out.
Yeah. Russell Crowe has said, and this is not, you know, confirmation that anything's going to happen or anything, but Russell Crowe says that he would like to be in a Krypton prequel because he wants to show how Zod and Jor-El's relationship deteriorated over time.
Yeah, see, that's about the only aspect of that I would really like to see as is.
Mm-hmm.
The version mm-hmm. of Krypton they paint in this set of movies is kind of sterile. I mean, well, literally sterile almost.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
he said he also wants to. He also wants to ride his dragon again.
Oh, I don't blame him. No, that's yeah. Of course, he does. That poor thing. Felt bad for that dragon. Yeah, but that like from what I've seen so far, that's the only piece of story I would really be interested in. I don't know if there's anything else going on. I mean, I'm sure you can invent some stuff, and you could go back to the what were they called, the javelin spears or whatever.
Yeah,
the rockets and blowing up moons and everything, and I guess. But that's pretty. Prequel, like that's a prequel to Zod and Jor-El, like generations ago, normally.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. I have really no actual active interest in seeing a Krypton prequel of any kind. I can barely stand the shit they're doing on Supergirl with Krypton.
It's just that it's the same thing everyone always does with Krypton. We've bitched about it before. That I call it faux Victoria, and you call it faux. Early's comic book. It's just this stilted mm-hmm. wooden dialogue that they give these characters that makes them completely unrelatable.
Yeah, I've referred to it as faux Shakespearean and Superman, the King James version.
Yeah. I mean, in actual comics, it feels like you're reading like a Prince Valiant comic from... Do they still do that one? I don't even know.
Oh, gosh. Prince Valiant? We're talking about... Oh, man. That's a...
You heard me.
That's a deep cut, man.
You heard me.
And now I can't think of Prince Valiant without thinking of Prince Valium.
Never saw that character, but I assume he's really chill.
He yawns a lot.
Mm-hmm. Dude doesn't have a bad day, though, you know?
Right. Were we finished with whatever we were talking about?
I think...
Serious, guys, it's been a long week. I don't know what to do with that.
I'll defer. If you see something interesting on your notes, go for it. If not, we'll just go to the next thing and hope for the best.
All right. I didn't know if you were talking or...
I felt good about where we
okay.
were.
Okay. So James Wan is talking about, apparently, the huge challenge of directing Aquaman. He says a big part of it was me telling them what potential I saw in this character. As we all know, Aquaman is somewhat the butt of the joke in the superhero world. There's something cool about that. I love the idea of being the underdog, coming in with a take on this underdog character and completely blow people's expectations away. Like, oh, you thought he was going to be a wimpy character? No. It's going to be so cool. There's Justice League that happens before it, so I have to be respectful to that, but in a lot of ways, it's a continuation, but there are origin elements as well, and that's the story that I'm excited to tell.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. The article that I pulled this from actually cited a round of snickers and giggles when Aquaman showed up on screen in Batman v Superman, so it was a negative article toward Aquaman.
The hell movie were they watching? I remember a little bit of gasping when everyone in our theater was pretty excited about pretty much everything that happened in that scene.
Yeah, I heard some claps.
Yeah. Was that me? You know. I don't think it was me. I think it was other people. I lost track.
I was sitting next to you. All I could hear was your urine hitting the floor.
Right. the sound of my mandible detaching from the rest of my face.
So J.K. Simmons is talking about his approach to playing Commissioner Gordon
yeah.
in Justice League. He says he's going to read the comics. Absolutely. He says, I'm still a couple of months out from doing that, and I have two other films before then, so I haven't gotten started on that. Obviously, a lot of really wonderful actors have played that character previously, and most of them I saw at the time the movies came out, never imagining that I would be doing the same thing. So I can't say that I don't have some impression of that character in my head that's based on what I saw, but I'm not planning on going back and watching any of the other films. I'm just planning on learning as much as I can about him through the comics and getting my feet wet in the first movie, and then hopefully continuing on from there. Man, I have all the faith in the world in J.K. Simmons, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I wanted
General
to read?
General Eiling on Justice League, friggin' J. Jonah Jameson and Spider-Man.
And did a great job.
Even in the insurance commercials that he does, I just want to hug him.
I'm like, I like my insurance, but damn it, I'll look to you next time. I'm looking around. I'll remember you. It's not true. I don't remember what was it Nationwide? I don't even remember.
I think it's State Farm.
Sure.
Because that sounds great coming out of his mouth. State Farm. Like, all right. Dude, I'm pretty sure that's him.
And I've got a suggestion. Like, you tell me which one you want, or what story arc even. But if I could like throw him if I could send him a box of stuff to read, it would just be, I think I'd just send him No Man's Land.
Really?
I think so. No Man's Land? Yeah. A lot of good Gordon in No Man's Land.
I would send him Year One.
And you remember No Man's Land ends with, you know, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, but I would send him Year One.
Year One is absolutely, you've got to have that, yeah.
Yeah, and I would send him Dark Knight Returns, because he does have a pretty good arc in Dark Knight Returns.
That's true.
There's not a lot of Gordon in it, but the beginning and end, there's a lot of good, you know, how he would deal with all the, like, him retiring, how he would deal with City Under Siege and Batman running around with horses and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, you're probably right. No Man's Land is a good take. And I might even send him the current run with Gordon actually being Batman.
Right. Yeah.
But I think more than the comics, I would grab a couple of episodes of the animated series.
Yeah, send him Over the Edge.
Over the Edge. Yeah, that's a great one. I'd probably send him the one where Gordon gets shot. Gordon's not in it a lot. I don't remember the name of that one.
I can't remember that episode. I'm sorry. It's clearly time for me to go back and review.
You don't remember that episode at all?
Not really. It's not jogging anything.
It's a thing where, like, they have a bust going on, and what was that guy's name? Jimmy the something man. Anyway, he shoots Gordon, and they think that everything's all right. And he's like, "Yeah, we got it." And like, Bullock's like, we got him, didn't we?
We got the guy with the thing,
whatever. And then he looks over and he sees Gordon has been shot and is laying on the ground. He goes, "Oh my god!" And then Batman looks over and he's like, "No, Jim!" And it's a whole thing. I Am the Knight. I think it was called I Am the Knight. I'm looking it up because I couldn't remember because I'm awful.
I got you. I remember that scene. I don't remember what happened in the rest of the episode. So, oh well.
Yeah, I think it was Batman blames himself because he was hanging around Crime Alley when the Jazz Man shot Gordon. Yeah. Mm.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But it's a really strong episode in as much as like it shows how much Gordon really means to everyone and to the city.
Shows the vacuum he creates if he steps out.
Yeah, and Bob Hastings, man, he's just always like, that's my definitive version of Gordon, what Bob Hastings did back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I would also send him that one little vignette from Holiday Nights where he sits down and just has coffee with Batman. And then he's like, "One of these days, I'm going to pay." I don't know. I'd probably wind up sending him a lot of stuff. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was going to pick like one thing to send him, but my one thing was, you know, fucking No Man's Land. He's going to need that 2 months.
Yeah. So, did we talk about the fact that the Batman solo movie has been confirmed?
I don't know. You just want to be excited about it again in case we didn't? Because,
I mean, you know, I it's so hard to keep up. Like, it's been rumored for so long. I feel like we've reported on it so much. But, yeah, like, Kevin Sugihara actually said it's coming. You know, Batman solo movie with Ben Affleck apparently writing and directing and starring. And then I was talking to Christopher White the other day. And I realized that October 5th is that first unnamed DC movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit, what if they're doing the Long Halloween?
Just because it starts there? I mean,
yeah, like, what if we did, like, a Long Halloween type of thing?
It'd work. See, that's what I hoped. To some extent, I hoped Gotham would almost take an entire season and do that.
Well, they're starting to do stuff like that. They're starting to do that with, like, a bunch of time jumps that they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they'd be hedging a little bit, but you can start the fall, kind of get through. And
yeah.
I'll jump through chronological loops with you, but...
Yeah.
I do love Long Halloween.
Yeah, Long Halloween's amazing.
Uh-huh. Some of the most fun I've had with Catwoman is in that book. Anyway.
Yeah.
Now we're just remembering how much we love Long Halloween and daydreaming. All right, go ahead.
So, you know who Tim Miller is, right? The director of Deadpool?
Mm-hmm.
He has revealed...
Every damn body does now.
Yeah. He has revealed that he met with WB about directing Lobo.
Oh, God.
And before anybody can start screaming ripoff or copycat, he speaks directly to that in this interview. He said that when he met with WB about Lobo, it was like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that they were uncertain about it and about what they should do with it, what they would want to do with it. And he even said, look, everyone's saying that like them even considering Lobo now is WB copycatting Marvel or Fox. And he says, look, the way I look at it is I look at it and say, hey, now they have proof that it works.
Yeah.
It's not copycatting. It's just, I mean, it's a business. Filmmaking is a business too. So they have to look at it. Studios have to look at it and make sure that it's viable before it can get made.
He's like, absolutely require precedence. Absolutely do.
Yeah. And instead of looking at it with negativity and saying, oh, well, they're just looking to cash in, you can say like, oh no, it's been proven to them that it can work. So yay, now a bunch of artists are going to get to go and get to do the thing they wanted to do.
Yeah. I've been enjoying looking at it as like, okay, cool. I'm going to get that too. I haven't really been all that worried about going back and forth. Because, come on, it's like with Marvel and DC, we've got shared story arcs, we've got shared mm-hmm. characters. Like, come on, what's the difference between Darkseid and Thanos? You tell me.
And
I don't fucking know. There's a lot of...
Jim Starlin knows.
there's an editor somewhere that did his job poorly. Dude, there's a lot of similarities, especially like how the kinds of stories you can tell with these kinds of characters, the kinds of characters mm-hmm. that are out there. It's all fine. Bring it all.
Well, actually, that editor at Marvel, I can't remember who it was, if Jim Starlin did it or if it was somebody else. I don't remember the specifics, but Starlin was involved. But whoever created Thanos was created him basically ripping off Metatron from New Gods. And whoever the editor was looked at it and said, no, if you're going to rip off a new god, rip off the good one, Darkseid.
I hadn't heard that tweak. The way I'd heard the story was like, he really liked what Jack Kirby was doing and went and thought, okay, I can take some parts of this and like made a character that was a lot, like the first design was, it had a lot of Darkseid in it, but he made it look so much different that it would play just fine. You know, you wouldn't really call him on it. And, then apparently the editor just said, you know what would definitely work is just make him look like this. And it was pretty much Darkseid. It was just a wrinkled face dude with some armor.
I heard he was in the chair in the whole thing.
Oh, that's nice. There's a little bit of history we could dive into if we had to. Or if someone knows the answer outright, I'd love to know. Tell us.
Yeah.
How exactly did they rip each other off this time? Come on, happened all the time back in the day. These cats were making like 6 books a week. They were breathing nothing but cigarette smoke and they were busy. It was a rough job for a second there.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I kind of balk at the idea, at the very notion of Marvel versus DC a lot of times, just because, what do you want, guys? I mean,
and it is
they were all just scrambling.
Cracks me up though. Like everybody has a preference, and you know, obviously we prefer DC, but you can't find a lot of people. I mean, God, I say a lot as though there's a number. I would say it's the minority still that just really love one and just absolutely refuse the other completely. It's mm-hmm. That's got to be a smaller percentage.
I mean, well, I think when you get to mainstream, most people don't know the difference.
Oh, in mainstream, like, absolutely not. No, there's.
I have good friends who, you know, would be like, so which one's Spider-Man again?
Yeah.
It's Marvel. Oh, okay, so, and Batman's Marvel? No, Batman's DC, because so Batman and Spider-Man can't be together.
Or the people asking, like, so have the Justice League and the Avengers ever teamed up or anything? Oh, okay, hold on.
Yes, but no.
How long of an answer do you want? The short one should be no, but we'll anyway. And
yeah.
Oh, and I've learned recently, especially because I've actually had a couple friends that aren't nearly as into this as I am, but knew I was, and they were curious. So they've asked me, like, coming into the BVS, I actually had a couple friends ask me, so is Nolan going to be, I mean, is, like, his stuff, like, there are they continuing that story? Or it hadn't occurred to me because we're so focused on it that we know, like, right. No, they're shutting down this storyline. Well, whenever they're going to reboot. There's apparently a percentage of mainstream that watching a reboot happen is actually trying to connect the dots to the previous material.
Absolutely.
It kind of just, I mean, I guess I knew it was there, but it hadn't occurred to me until someone actually asked me.
It has occurred to me, and because I was, you know, during Batman Begins, I had any number of people in my life who were adamant that I had no idea what I was talking about. They're like, no, because at the end of Batman Begins, like, Gordon shows him the card, which means that, I mean, the next movie was Joker, so...
So now we're back into, like right, Batman proper, like 1989.
Yeah, that was like the before the Michael Keaton movie. Like, no, they're rebooting it. It's not going to be the same thing. Plus, because people's memories are very short on this sort of thing, man.
No, I, like, especially not a lot of people sit there and do this, like sit there and look at all this crap like we do. So,
right.
You know, you enjoy the movies and then you kind of come back and you've so forgotten like, that maybe that story ended or even who was playing him. Yeah. Can happen.
I found myself in the unenviable position of trying to explain to a number of people in my life, no, look, don't you remember in the first Batman movie, in 89's Batman, that you're claiming is a sequel to this movie, that Gordon had no idea who Batman was, saw him as a menace, and then Joker popped up, like, this isn't the same world. I don't understand. I know, buddy.
There's just, it's... Yeah, it hadn't occurred to me that, and it's not as though, I mean, they literally do put out press releases saying this, but they don't make it into mainstream news, you know, someone doesn't say, oh, like, you're not watching CNN headline news and someone goes, oh, and it was decided that they are going to reboot the Batman story, so forget everything you knew about Nolan, here's the new guy.
Right.
Back to wars. They don't do that.
Back to wars. That's funny.
That's why you listen to us, because we focus on that crap. What was next on our jolly little train?
I wanted to mention that Tim Miller also said that he is certain that he's like, look, they're not going back and doing Suicide Squad reshoots because Deadpool was funny or because Batman vs Superman wasn't. And he was like, they're going back to do reshoots because all movies go back and do reshoots.
Yeah, that's about right. And, you know, I'll give him this. If maybe it would be too far if you grabbed Tim Miller to come do a Lobo movie. Maybe that is just one toke over the line or something. Mm. All right. Well, has Ryan Reynolds ever directed anything? Because he knows how that kind of character works.
Right.
Can he come play? I'll let him come play. Give him a couple of producers with some real, you know, directing background so he doesn't screw anything major up and let him ride.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I would love to see Tim Miller or Ryan Reynolds direct a Lobo movie, but I really don't know, like, because, you know, no one's going to actually pay attention to the fact that Tim Miller was to anything that Tim Miller just said. You're not going to pay attention to that fact that he was like, he met with the Warner Brothers before about it or anything. They're just going to write their, anti-DC, vitriol.
There's going to be the negatives, but you can, if you have Tim Miller sitting there standing up for it, I think you'll be fine. Really do. I think you'd be fine if you did it.
Yeah, maybe.
Just but damn the torpedoes and all.
I thought I saw a headline that said he was going to direct Deadpool 2, which I'm more than happy with.
So. Yeah. I'm hoping he was still on board for that.
Yeah. You want to talk about Arrow?
Of course I want to talk about
Arrow. Jumping over
to TV? Yeah, let's head over to television.
Yeah.
Hi, TV. So,
hiya, Weekly Fair. So Mark Guggenheim has been talking about the flashbacks. He said part of the appeal of the flashbacks, certainly in the first 2 years, but I think the first 3 years, is seeing what a big difference it is between Oliver Queen in the present day and Oliver Queen 5 years ago. The problem is that we are telling a 5-year story in the flashbacks of Oliver becoming the guy you met in the pilot. So the deeper you get into the flashbacks, the closer he becomes to being that guy. And thus, you lose that element of the flashbacks that was so interesting, which is how different he was. That's something we have struggled with this year.
Yeah.
No, Mark. No. I'm going to go ahead and disagree completely. The problem is that the flashbacks started being boring as shit. Nothing is happening. You don't have a story.
No, that is one of the problems that I think is affecting the flashbacks at the moment, and I like that. I like him acknowledging it.
But it's not the problem.
No, but it's on the list. It's on the list. And
I mean,
with the flashbacks this year, it's a list.
I think a big part of the problem is like they're giving us maybe like 30 seconds of flashback sometimes. Like,
yeah.
And nothing interesting is happening. They've run out of things to tell us about what's happening. It's like they've written themselves into this weird corner where they're like, well, we don't really know what to do now. I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway,
pretty much.
Wendy Miracle was talking about the flashbacks as well. She said, we know what we're working up to. Season 5 will be easier to break because we have an endpoint and we can work backwards from there. So they believe that they're going to really knock the flashbacks out of the park in season 5. And she also is hinting that we might find out how he got some of those Russian tattoos and stuff. So, I mean, we figured he was going to Russia.
I mean, it has to happen at some point. Just,
I mean,
period.
They said in the show, if we get out of here, we're going to Russia. So,
Well, he agrees to go if she doesn't make it, and vice versa.
Right, that's how that went down.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten how that went down. I was like,
but
she's
what we
die.
Heard
he's
was,
go
oh,
Russia.
That's how he gets to Russia. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Spanish-Russian chick is dead, and he's going to... Gotcha.
In the article I read, they even said, like, because you've called her Spanish-Russian chick for a while.
I'm sorry.
In the article I read...
Her article slips. Her accent slips,
dude,
all the time.
In the article, it was like, Wendy Miracle confirms that she's Russian.
Oh.
So,
I mean,
good on you there, buddy.
There's enough context in the show to know that she is, but it's just...
Right. Those first couple of weeks, it was kind of tough.
I understand.
Before
accents
they actually
are hard.
Said...
I'm not good at them. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So, over to Flash.
Yay!
Teddy Sears has been talking about his character, Hunter Zolomon.
Mm-hmm.
He says that Hunter Zolomon's love for Caitlin is real.
Oh, so his time, you know, over in E1 was, he really did care about her?
Yeah, they asked him if he ever really cared for Caitlin, and he says, absolutely, that's something that Andrew Kreisberg from the beginning wanted to hammer into me. While there were games being played on all the other members of Star Labs, what he felt for Caitlin was the real deal. That adds a really interesting dynamic to this moving forward. He essentially is one gigantic liar who has played them all, but he never played her. There are real feelings there.
All right.
There's even an underlayer based on where he came from in his life, in his origin story, that plays a big part in why he wants her, why he needs her, why he loves her. They also asked him about the identity of the man in the iron mask, and he said, I had no clue last week. I didn't know who the guy was. I didn't even have a clue. Well, of course, now I know, because we're shooting the finale, and we'll get to that stuff next week. All has been revealed to me. I don't even know what to say, because it's such a fun thing to me, being nice and vague and untouched. I can promise that it will be revealed, and it will be quite satisfying.
Well, okay.
I want to know now!
Yeah, me too. Me too.
It hurts.
I mean, what do we have? A little over a month on that?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Not knowing who that dude is, who the man in the iron mask is in the Flash. You ever do the thing where, like, I don't know, you sit a weird way, and then you get like this, and as soon as you sit that way, you panic because you can feel that there's like, you're about to get like a Charlie horse in your taint?
In the wide range of human experiences that I have thus, come upon, no. Definitively no.
Oh. Well, sometimes I get a Charlie horse in my taint.
I mean, I don't even know how to deal with I literally have nothing I could possibly tell you about that.
Yeah, and then there's nothing you can do about it except ride it out, and it's awful because you know it's going to spread to your balls and your asshole.
Oh wow, yeah.
So you're just kind of sitting there frozen, like how like when your foot gets like a cramp or something, like a Charlie horse. It's like you're just like, oh no, like I got to figure out a way to move, but I can't because if I move, it'll make it worse. But if I move the right way, it'll stop it.
I can't figure out how that gets back to wanting to know about a storyline, because you're describing to me a very adverse situation, and I feel very positively about wanting to know who that damn man in the mask is. So,
well, not knowing who the man in the mask is like a taint Charlie horse in my soul.
I see.
That's how I feel.
I mean, I don't see, Chase. But okay.
That's how I feel inside. I'm going to hear about this one from some people.
Yes, you are.
Anyway. Hi, honey.
That's your dad.
So I don't think we mentioned it. What?
It should be clear that there will probably be comeuppance for that. Yeah.
We have not mentioned it, but Justice League versus Teen Titans is out on Blu-ray. The DC animation department is just so freaking prolific. It's hard to keep up.
You're right.
I apologize. I knew that it was a thing a couple weeks ago, and I kept forgetting to talk about it. So I'm really sorry. And we will. You've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm worse. I'm worse, Dave.
Why are you worse?
Because I've seen the damn thing, and I still forgot to talk about it.
Mm. Is it that unforgettable?
No. My problem is that you haven't caught up on these last rash of movies, so I kind of don't. I don't tell you about them. So when we're chatting,
they are actually in a continuity, aren't they?
Yeah, especially the recent spat with Damien. Yeah.
Okay. So that's happening, and I'm pretty sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is Throne of Atlantis, Justice League War, is all of that, and the Batman and Son, Batman versus Robin, are all of those in the same continuity? Bad Blood, right?
And this one, the only thing I'm not sure about is Justice League War. Everything else sounds right, though.
Okay. So, yeah, we've got some catching up to do, and we're going to talk about all that stuff during over the summer break. So don't worry about it. We, as you guys know, we cover a lot of shows that come out on a weekly basis here. So
yeah, that was the other reason I haven't bothered you with it. Shuffling, you didn't have time. No point.
We're just shuffling it off for a minute. We'll get to it. Spoiler-free review. Did you like it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I enjoyed the crap out of this. I will tell you this, though, because you'll probably never get to see something like this even on the DCAU side. Of all things, it ends up being it's a Raven story. It really is.
Okay.
I mean, Raven, Trigon, the whole thing. That's probably in there. I didn't read the synopsis. I assume that's probably in there, but I that's where the heart of the story is with her. And you know, that's kind of rare for the visual format. She doesn't get out front too often.
Well,
I don't know. I'm curious. Is that more interesting for you or less interesting? Are you thinking, oh, Raven, I never get to see her? Or are you thinking, yeah, there's a reason?
Interest peaked. Raven, Trigon, that was a big pull for me when I was reading Teen Titans and New Titans. So, yeah, I think that's a plus for you.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah.
Now, I mean, I don't keep in mind, I have not, and you know, I am a host of a show called DC On Screen, but I'm sorry, guys, I have never seen more than a few minutes of Teen Titans, the cartoon. Just haven't.
I want to. Neither have I.
But they produce a lot of animation. Anyway, we'll get to all of that stuff one day. I know, guys, I'm so sorry.
There's plenty of time.
We always say that, don't we?
Well, that's what summer's for.
But then one day I'll be in a ditch. I'll be in a ditch and I'll be dead. And my last thought will be, Teen Titans.
In a foxhole. No. That's what you're going to think to yourself. Man.
Not a foxhole. A ditch. I figured, you know, the one in front of McDonald's down the street.
Gotcha.
Like, well, I shouldn't have had that second Big Mac.
Of course.
Anyway. So, The Killing Joke is officially rated R.
Yay! I mean, really, like, come on. Yay, right?
Right. Yeah, sure, I guess. I don't know. I was pretty good with it either way. Like, Bruce Timm in that featurette that they released a couple weeks ago was talking about, like, oh, well, I mean, maybe it'll be PG-13. These days, who the hell knows, you know? So, yeah. He didn't say it that way. That's how I remembered it. But I know he didn't say it that way. But yeah, it's rated R, and you know, they came out and they had a whole boring spiel about, like, well, we felt like it fit the sensibilities of the thing to make the thing. We set out to make it, you know, exactly what it should be, regardless of what the rating was, blah, blah, blah. Unsurprisingly, because it is apparently Warner Brothers and DC, there's a number of negative articles talking about, like, DC is not catering to kids anymore. I believe one of the headlines I saw was adult fanboys co-opt children's programming or something like that. I can't remember.
It's not like we stole candy from a child.
That's essentially the argument, that we're ruining things for children so they can be more adult. And then they actually did cite Deadpool for a minute, and I'm like, well, that wasn't
Deadpool
DC
was
jackasses.
Never something that a kid should necessarily be reading unless they mean it.
Right, yeah. So, I don't know. I guess they're like, Batman vs. Superman was so grim, dark, and terrible, two heroes fighting, and blah, blah, blah.
No, I admit, I have no reason to tell, like, I have nephews that are fans of these characters. I haven't been able to tell anyone in my family that they should take my nephews to it. I mean, they're like 6 and 4. Yeah. No, they don't need to go watch Batman vs. Superman. They'll be confused.
They'll be confused and they'll be bored.
Right.
I'm assuming that the people writing the articles about how adult fanboys are co-opting children's programming, I somehow believe that they are unfamiliar with things like Teen Titans Go, like, or Batman Brave and the Bold, or, you know, any of the actual, like, how about the
Superhero High thing or whatever that we were talking about a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, Superhero High. It actually does look pretty good. The web series and then now movie, yeah. And also, what was it called now? Batman Unleashed, the Animal Instincts and all that. They're specifically, they have a line of toys that are not for adult collectors, that are for kids, and they also have a line of movies that we haven't covered because, well, we haven't had time, and also they kind of look awful, even by children's standards. Like, I love Brave and the Bold, and that was on the show almost totally for
Brave
kids.
Brave and the Bold, I'll fight for, but, man, I'm sorry. You know, we got to have a demographic, too, and a lot of podcast listeners aren't 5, so.
Right, so.
We're picking our shots here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and, you know, if it gets real bad one day. and I understand you might be sitting there thinking, well, how much worse could it get? We got Lucifer. I understand.
Yeah.
And trust me, I'd rather watch those Batman movies, those animated Batman movies, than Lucifer anyway. But those movies aren't getting, 10.5 million views. So Lucifer it is, guys. one day we'll go back and watch all those terrible Unleashed Batman, whatever they were, Batman Unleashed movies. It's Batman. I've got to own them. At some point, they're going to be on my shelf.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll happen. I'm a real fanboy, see? I'm a real fan.
Right. I'm
just
not sure.
Imagine.
I'm honestly not sure I'm fan enough to actually go purchase and or watch the... Yeah, that string of stuff.
Oh, hey, I mean, like, I'm the Batman fan that, like, there was a point where, like, when Jason and I lived together, he walked into my room and I was watching the old Batman movie serials. And he went, what the hell is this?
And it looked awful, but I never got around to watching them with you, but I was still curious.
Yeah, to his credit, he did stand there for a good 10 minutes just lingering and staring at the television.
Yeah.
And this was during some, like, terrible sped-up fight sequence. Like, clearly much worse than anything Adam West could have ever dreamed of doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I eat that shit up like candy, man.
Now, I mean, we're talking about a set of serials, if anyone's ever seen them, you might agree, that truly, Batman 66 legitimized the character after these.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
Right, he actually seems more formidable in the Adam West version than he did. Mm-hmm.
A little bit. The and I want to say it's Robert Lowry, but I'm not certain. But the guy who did it in the 1949 serial, it's actually well documented that in between takes, like, they would do some fight scenes, and in between takes, they would actually have to bring oxygen over to him because he was in such terrible shape.
Oh, God. It was 1949, man. Like, people were being prescribed cigarettes.
Right.
Lunch wasn't lunch without, you know,
no, but,
glass
you know,
of ice with a sidecar of whiskey.
To the 1949 Batman's credit, he was the one that wasn't racist.
49 Batman?
49 Batman, you know, I'm pretty sure it was just because they didn't really give him a chance to be.
I think that in the serials, in the second, I'll call it second season, but in the second run of the serials, there's an entire storyline about, like, Japanese internment camps, isn't there?
No, that was the first one. That was in 1943.
Was it the first one?
Yeah, he was the 43. One running around calling people Japs and stuff.
Okay. Okay.
Referring to the Yellow Horde and whatnot.
Yeah.
And there's
it got dark there for a minute, guys. I'm sorry.
Why does you can get guy playing a Japanese guy and he's just got eyeliner on?
Of course. Of course.
It was, but you know, they were with the Nazis, so the Nazis were a certain level of bad. And I don't know. I guess they couldn't really pick out any racial epithets with the Nazis, though, with the Germans. Like, hey, you're white like me. Damn it. What about you, slant eye?
It's literally terrible. Literally, theoretically whiter than us. It's hard to throw a racial epithet in there.
Like, I knew it. There was someone behind it that wasn't white. No, I'm pretty sure the Germans are behind this.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know about that, boy. I don't know why everybody who's racist says boy, but it kind of fits.
It's a commonly associated term.
It kind of fits, doesn't it?
They go part and parcel most of the time. I mean, not all the time.
Right. Not all the time.
On screen, when people are doing this kind of crap, that when you write the racist character, it's you know, you bring up boy at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you're Sam Beckett. I'm not at all saying that Scott Bakula or his character, Dr. Sam Beckett, on the critically acclaimed Quantum Leap was at all racist. In fact, mm-hmm. I would argue, based on the episodes we got, quite the opposite was true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even with his Swiss cheese brain,
mm-hmm.
he knew that racism was wrong, guys. Take that, 1943 Batman. Take that, 1943 Batman.
It only took 40 years of on-screen production.
Okay, I think that does it, man. I don't have anything else.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah. Here's a mild observance that I have. Andrew Jackson, our former president who is on the $20 bill, I've realized looks like actress Christina Pickles.
Okay, I don't know the actress, but I can't relate on two fronts. Because one, I've never heard of Christina Pickles.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I don't own a $20 bill.
Okay. Well, Christina Pickles, I think, is probably she's been in a ton of stuff over the years, but most notable, I would say, as playing Ross and Monica's mom on Friends.
I do know her.
Yeah.
I still, though, and I'm sorry about this, there's a few of the founding faces that you'd have to tell me which ones they were.
Well, I just think, and you can look it up, if you washed off her makeup, she looks like Andrew Jackson. And that's all I have to say about that.
Gotcha. That's fair.
Oh!
Well, I have no idea if it's
fair. There was a thing. I remembered what the thing was that I had to say.
Oh.
I have forgotten to say this for 3 weeks.
Oh, dear God. Go for it.
My girlfriend, Bethany, pointed out the reason both Barry had a crush on Felicity, and the reason that Oliver loved her or loves her is because her name ends with city. Heroes love Felicity because they love their cities. Star cities, Central City, Felicity.
Oh dear God, that might work.
And when she said it, I cracked up. I don't have a lot more for that anymore because, like, every time I record, she's asked me, did you just say the Felicity thing? And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I forgot. So now it brings me much shame. It brings me much shame.
It's a valid point.
I've brought shame to our house.
Yeah. If they ever introduce Bruce Wayne, he's just going to fall over there immediately.
Right.
His love for a city is being greater than all.
Felicity, city of justice.
Although, you know, it doesn't have, like, Gotham doesn't actually have city behind it. So maybe it wouldn't work on him.
Gotham City.
And generally you'd think if there was a Superman, he just would give exactly zero fucks about it, right?
Right, yeah.
No, they call it the City of Tomorrow too often. Nah, it'd work on him too.
Nah, I don't think so, because Superman would be like, is always like, I'm a citizen of the world, not of America. What's Metropolis? Okay.
Right.
I work at the Daily Planet. Planet.
Not Daily City. Planet.
Planet, Lois.
That'd be an easy news job, too. Work at the Daily Building. What do? You show up at work every day and print off a series of reports about the shit happening in your building.
Right.
In Kathy theory, you could just put like a never-ending loop of just white paper at the beginning of the printing machine that once it gets to the end of the printing machine, you come up with a device that brings it back to the beginning of the printing machine. I don't know how printing machines work. I'm assuming this all plays. We'll see. I don't know. And then just no one could ever come into work again, and the white paper would be absolutely true, and everyone would be paid.
Right. I kind of feel like Perry White should have a daily editorial that's just nothing but a blank piece of paper. Because his name is Perry White.
Right, right.
I feel like there should be reports on Kathy in accounting spreading nasty rumors that Jimmy is a CIA spook.
Of course.
And what's Clark Kent really doing in that phone booth? Of course, she wouldn't think it was becoming Superman.
No, they would assume he has like a gambling addiction.
Oh, we see Clark going into the broom closet, but Superman coming out. I think Clark and Superman have a thing going on.
Right.
Maybe even Lois is involved, because I keep seeing Superman save Lois and the way she looks at him. Of course, that would be the way they come up with that. Anyway, once again, I think I'm done.
Yeah, I'm spent.
Yeah. All right. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. We are a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network as well. GiantSizeTeamUp.com. Go over there. Check out all the great shows the Giant Size Team Up Network has to offer. There are really a lot of great stuff, a lot of great shows going on over there. Including the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast with our buddies Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall. They're covering all the Marvel side of this. And hell, while we're at it, not part of the network, but they're awesome. Suicide Squadcast. Go check them out as well.
Yeah.
Until next time, guys. We're going to be talking about the Supergirl finale that's happening. And, well, has already happened now. And Gotham and Lucifer and all.
Actually, that's a good point. The way we're recording, yeah, that is a present. And yeah, we gotta knock that out.
Yeah. So, guys, until we see you again, keep some DC on your screen.